You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Listen up. Here we go.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome today. No Spin Rodeo is exactly 107 episodes old. This is episode 107, and I'm joined by the First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism and my friend, sometimes, Kendra Santos. Hi, Kendra. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm in a cabin in Sedona, Arizona. No Spin means so much to me that I walked away from my grandkids playing in the dirt to do No Spin. So I'm glad that my current internet is holding and I'm traveling to Salt Lake City to get ready for the Gold Medal Rodeo. Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm kind of at a Rodeo Central desk at the moment, but a couple things that are right in front of my face on my radar is like it's a very different Reno rodeo without Bob Tallman and Wayne Brooks and you know, your brother Anthony stepped in and they're doing an amazing job. It is so odd having, like, I don't know how old Reno Rosser is, but I was a little kid at SLAC with my dad the morning Reno Rosser was born and they announced at SLAC that, you know, hey, Cotton just had a kid and named him Reno. Like, that's how old I am. And so that's how many years I've been listening to Bob Tallman at the Reno Rodeo. So it is very different. And of course, we all wish him the best and can't wait for him to get back to it. But it is very, very different. And another note, today is June 24th, and it is officially the first day back for Shad Mayfield after his hip surgeries, and he's roping at Pecos this morning. And so I'm, you know, waiting to hear back from him about that. Pretty cool, you know. Can he pull a Cody Ole? I don't think anybody's betting against him. You know, Cody was rather famous for maybe starting about Reno week and making the finals and then winning the world. So that's kind of the mountain that Shad Mayfield's trying to climb right now.
Well, if anybody can do it, I think he's, judging from talking to him and stuff, I'm sure he's just as determined as Cody was. It sure seems like it. Sure seems like it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, so today's topic, I'm going to go over a little bit, and then we've got a stellar panel to talk about what we're going to talk about. But raise your hand if you've had come across your social media feed all of this stuff about bronc riders, professional bronc riders, and the way I read it is they're all cheating because of the construction of their saddles and the placement of their saddles. So before we brought our panel in, for some of the no spinners out there that probably don't know what I'm talking about, there's a couple people on social media. We all know those kind of people that really kind of keep flying a tattered flag. But here's the controversy to break it up. Modern bronc saddles, saddle bronc riding in professional rodeo. Modern bronc saddles are being built differently than they were 10 years ago, I would say, maybe further. And because of the way they're being built, it's allowing that saddle to sit further up on the horse's body, up higher on their shoulders. The way the D-rings are set, the way that the saddle cinches, it puts the swells of the saddle further up on the horse. If you're watching this on video, you'll kind of see a little diagram. And it's a considerable amount of space forward, okay? So imagine a saddle being moved further up by several inches to the front of the horse. And so the real controversy here, and that has to do with how you build the saddle, the tree of the saddle. That has to do with the D-rings and how they suck the saddle forward. You know, the withers of the horse are basically right in between the shoulder blades. The shoulders of the horse set a little bit further back. And the older bronc saddles set more like a traditional saddle in the middle. Now, if you're in a branding pen, you know, you probably want that saddle setting back a little bit if you're dragging cattle to fire. But if you're on the top of a ranked bronc horse, it seems to me, and we'll ask the experts when we get them on, you know, this saddle moving forward is advantage cowboy. Question is it disadvantage horse? And we'll get into that, but it's this whole controversy on really, I'm over exaggerating this, but are the current saddle bronc riders cheating? And it, should there be enforcement in the sport on this? I will say this, it's interesting to me. It seems like they're going after the circuit guys on this a lot more than they are the big guns. Now that's just my own way, but I've heard in my research on this that there has been some disqualifications on the circuit level, but we don't see it that much in the big games. So again, you know, the judges are going to come up in this because Kendra, the ultimate responsibility for this falls again in the judge's lap to make sure that the saddles meet the current rules, which most of them do. The question is, not very many of them, I don't think, or I can't find out, are being inspected. And what is that delineating factor? Like, I know that in the PRCA office, there's an old tool sitting there that they're analyzing that somehow, it's a square thing that somehow tells if the bronc saddle is legal or not. Now, I don't, it looks like an ancient torture device to me, but, you know, it's supposedly it's what they used to use to tell if the bronc saddles were legal to use according to PRCA rules. Nothing in this currently tells me that there's very many bronc saddles that are technically illegal. So that's what the conversation is about for you no spinners that are wondering what we're talking about. And because we've got a couple of really cool guests, I'm going to kick it over to you, Kendra, and let's bring our guest on and we'll just have an open panel discussion about bronc saddles, positioning, and current bronc riding versus old bronc riding in the PRCA.
Well, before I introduce these guys, with the current climate of professional rodeo, I mean, is it any wonder that there's not a long line of people throwing their hands in the air to be a rodeo judge? For the love of God. I mean, they're tasked with does not look like a lot of fun to me. But anyway, for this particular subject, we do take a lot of pride in expert respected opinions, and I don't think we could ask for two better ones than two Pro Rodeo Hall of Famers and four-time world champion saddle bronc riders in Clint Johnson and Zeke Thurston. And we are so grateful for you guys being willing to come on and just have an open conversation about something that a lot of people are talking about. And maybe they don't have access to you guys, but we appreciate your time and willingness to talk about this subject. So thanks and welcome.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Good morning. I would love to ask you a quick question, Zeke, for people who don't know, because I don't even know if I've gotten to the bottom of it yet, of your family tree. We talk about the Brazils and Coopers and Smiths, but your family is on, I just want to make sure I've got everybody. So besides, okay, you and your NFR bronc rider dad, your trick rider mom, Linda, calf roping cousin Bo Cooper, bulldogging cousin Ryan Schuckberg. Am I missing anybody out there rodeoing right now that's in your crew?
No, that's about them. Yeah, pretty prevalent both sides of my family as far as rodeo goes. My mom, she announced for a while, did some journalism. Everybody knows my dad had a decent career as a bronc rider, and then. Yeah, Bo, he made the NFR a couple of years ago, and Ryan's in pretty good position to make one this year. And they've went to multiple Canadian finals together with me and Calgary Stampedes, and pretty cool that we all work a different event in different ends of the arena.
Yeah, I have a question for you about so you and Bo are going to team up at Pinoca. Who's heading? Who's healing?
I'm ahead. Bo's going to heal.
And in a follow-up to that, are we going to see Zeke Thurston throw his name in the hat for the Linderman one of these days?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Zeke stays pretty busy these days.
You got a couple kids or something?
Yeah.
We also have a budding trick rider. Is your mom teaching your daughter how to trick ride?
My mom actually never trick rode. Me and my two brothers, we trick rode when we were, you know, 10 to 13 years old, somewhere in there, 9 to 13. We had an act called the Thurston Gang, and so Lucy, she's kind of in the last few years kind of started to want to gravitate to that side of it a little bit, and so they've got her. She's going to do a few rodeos up here in Canada. She's got 3 or 4 perfs to do here at Pinoca this week, so she's pretty excited about that.
Wait. And apologies, I stand corrected, because I've all these years thought that your mom trick rode in Canada. My bad.
No, anyway. No, she never trick rode. They ran a lot of flags. They did the openings for lots of different rodeos, Canadian Finals, Calgary, a lot of that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, let's get to it. What we're here to talk about. I don't know if you want to lead us in, Tommy Joe, but basically we're here to talk about bronc saddles and what's going on behind the bucking chutes.
Yeah. So Clint, let's just start with you. How have you seen from your eyes, have you noticed this kind of evolution in bronc riding in the last, would you say it's been 10 years, 15? Because Zeke, here's what's interesting. Zeke's beat their ass both ways, which I think is just cool, right? I mean, that's the sign of someone that, you know, adapts and wins. But Clint, what have you seen a change, and help us understand from your point of view as one of the greats that is now watching the sport, what have you seen and what are your thoughts on this whole new bronc saddle and the evolution of the bronc saddle?
You're not going to see a huge change just looking at the saddle. It's more the placement of the rigging, and the gullet height is higher. And you do see some saddles, I don't think that many, where they've narrowed the bars to get more height than the gullet, which when they do that, that saddle doesn't necessarily stay put that good. And what your controversy you see on Facebook, some of that is based on the narrow bars and the riggins setting farther back, which allows them to set that saddle farther ahead. Nobody really watches rodeo wants to see that saddle up on the neck of a horse. And I think that's one of the issues right now.
I have a question specifically that, because I feel like, I mean, we could have a whole conversation like this about the bareback riding and, you know, when they used to have leather handles, you know, and that's all evolved. But do you feel like the bronc saddles have evolved as bucking horses have evolved and gotten bigger and stronger and stouter and ranker? I mean, there have always been great ones, but the talent pool in the bucking horse is a lot deeper now than it used to be, right?
You're asking me that question?
Sure.
Yeah, there's more good horses. I don't think the very top echelon horses in probably in anybody's time would still be good horses. There's just a lot more good horses. I'd have to say a lot more. But they also look to me like they would, a lot of them would be better to ride than some of the horses we had to get on. But, and you watch old videos, man, those guys rode some horses that were nasty. Now, they weren't good to ride.
Yes.
But
do you feel like the saddles have had to change to give the cowboys a chance? Or why? I'd love both of you to answer this. Why are these saddles evolving like this?
Go ahead, Zeke.
You guys go ahead.
Well, I don't think the saddles needed to evolve. I'm sure equipment evolves, man. Things are different. But to me, and somebody tells me, well, we had to do this to our saddles because we couldn't ride these rank horses. Well, I'm like, if you can't ride that rank horse, then that horse should buck you off. You know, whether it's, as long as that saddle's within the specs, I'm not arguing it. I don't have a problem with it, as long as they measure and they're in the specs. I think the saddles probably fit horses better that we use than they do now. The bars fit them better. Now, raising the gullet, whatever they want to do, I guess that's fits within the specifications, and then it's fine.
I have a question for you, Zeke, about this. You won your first world championship 10 years ago in 2016. How much has your saddle evolved in the last 10 years during your career? Has it changed a lot?
I wouldn't say it's changed a ton, but they have changed. So I've made the NFR in three different kinds of saddles. The first year I went in a G-Bar G, and then from 17 to 19, or 20, I rode a doll. And then 21 to today, I've rode a, what they call an Erlacher. They're all kind of built off the same specs. The saddles we have nowadays, they have a better fiberglass to them. The trees are stronger. When I rode a doll, I would get a new one to two new ones every year. They just weren't as stout, weren't as robust as they needed to be. They would spread over time, you know, just things like that. They have a rough job. You're strapping them to 150 bucking horses a year, right? And a lot of times you're not in control of that. The animal or what happens to that saddle, right? That animal's loose in the arena, and the pickup man has them for the majority of the time, and then he goes to a strip and shoot, and you don't know what goes on back there, right? So they just they didn't seem to last as long. They get banged up pretty easy, and you'd end up having to get a new one, or I did anyways, quite often, just because I liked a crisp saddle that felt good and rode good. But as far as the build of them, they're all very similar. They are, I would say the saddle I ride nowadays is probably half an inch to three quarters of an inch taller through the swells. I've never measured the bars. I wouldn't say the bars are narrower than the doll. The swell height's probably just a little bit taller. And that is just a little more surface area for your legs. But when we rode dolls, our dolls would start to spread, and we would have to, a lot of guys would run a piece of ready rod or a giant bolt through the center of your swells to pinch that saddle back together. And then we run into contractors, you know, getting after us for having a bar through the center of our saddles, you know, especially if it wasn't put in the right spot, you know, that you got on a horse with a real, you know, big, long, tall, narrow wither, what we call like a shark fin, you know, that piece of ready rod or that bolt could even come close to touching that wither, which was, you know, obviously not a good thing.
I would assume that there are some pretty, I don't know if it's tense or heated conversations between buck and horse riders and stock contractors. Clint, was that the case in your era in the 80s also? Was there always a kind of a conversation or a, you know, those guys looking out for their horses and you guys looking out for riding their horses, or was it like that back then?
No, there was definitely some confrontations at times. If you were someone that they knew and you knew how to work with those guys, usually you didn't have any trouble. But there was always guys saying you're cinching your saddle too tight, or your back cinch needs to be forward or needs to be back. And a lot of that was opinion. But they really didn't have a lot to base it on. They couldn't really argue with you too much. I'd say the contractors probably fend their horses less now than they did then. I think, as a rule, the contractors kind of thought the cowboys were typically trying to cheat their horses. And now there's a little more of an opportunity if the cowboys and the contractors get along. I think the contractors feel like they have an advantage when it comes to picking an animal.
Well, I've got a question. So the saddles, Zeke and Clint, you talk about this with me, but it seems like the seat of the saddles, the current saddles, are a little higher. The swells are higher. That puts your spur stroke further up on the horse. Is that correct? A little further up. And would you say that if your spur stroke, if you're further up on that horse, that that's advantage cowboy? Yes or no?
Yeah, I don't know if the spur stroke's as much further up. I mean, you could look at this a lot of different ways, but it just, the saddle I ride nowadays, and when I rode a G-Bar G, I never had that problem, but when I rode a different, you know, maybe a doll or something, we'd run into an issue where your saddle would run back. And then you have no chance of getting past the break, you know, and getting them where you need to, especially if you have a big, strong forward bucking horse that's, you know, jumping away and stuff. You're kind of at the mercy of the horse. When I rode a G-bar G, they never run back. They never moved. And the saddle we ride today is very much the same. Some of those saddles you see, like when we used to ride, you'd have to run them saddles way up there on their neck, you know, start pulling it there and let it go back to where it needed to be just in order to get it into a decent spot. Right. And then if you did have a horse that wasn't built, you know, maybe desirable, the back of your saddle end up kicking up because it's pulling, all your pressure's pulling down on the front of your saddle. To me, that's a worse fitting saddle than the saddles we ride nowadays, where we put it up there and it stays where you put it.
I have a question about like PRCA judges. Is it part of their job to police these things, or is that, I don't really understand the dynamics here. Like, are these saddles that guys are riding today all compliant with the PRCA rulebook? For starters,
I would probably have to say no. Your rule book was made; them rules were typed out back in the 70s. I think there's been maybe one or two modifications to the Bronc saddle rule book in the last whatever that is, 40, 50 years.
So, do you think, Zeke, have you ever has a judge ever inspected your saddle, or have you ever seen judges inspect Bronc saddles? Does that happen?
I've seen them look at guys' saddle. I've never seen them inspect us, like my saddle personally, as far as, you know, specs and build. But, you know, I've had judges, they've come and checked our rosin, especially a couple years ago when all that stuff was coming around. They'd come check that stuff all the time. And yeah, it's always been kosher for me. But the stuff that's going around on Facebook, I feel like you're talking about maybe 2% of the Bronc riders. I don't know how many Bronc riders hold a card right now in the PRCA. It's got to be a lot. And, you know, a couple bad eggs can ruin it. And there are guys that can run that saddle way up there. You know, there's a different build of a saddle. There's not very many of them out there. There's about four, I think. But there's not to say guys can't go doctor up their own saddles. There's guys that do that and change the riggings and do different things, right? And those saddles aren't going to pass by no means. But those are also the guys that aren't making the NFR. Those are not your top guys. When they ride, you can tell that it's not where it should be. It looks bad. It looks poor, in my opinion. And it doesn't work. I had a saddle that I loved. I won the world in it. It was a great saddle. I had to get it refiberglassed and kind of doctored up, and I sent it to a guy to get new riggins put in it, and he put new riggins in it, and he placed them. They were way too far back. I got on three horses with that saddle, horses that I should have rode all day long and made great rides on. And I missed one of them out. The other one was Maple Leaf of Frontier. She bucked me off. She did buck extremely hard that day, but bucked me off. And the third horse was one that I should have been honestly able to swing a rope and spur this thing at the same time. Super nice horse, and I was falling off. There's just no feeling when you do that. There's no feeling front to back. There's no timing. I got on three horses, and I threw it back in the corner and never touched it again.
Clint, quick question. Do you think in the top 30, in your opinion, watching this, in the top 30 guys, do you think there's a handful of them that are pushing the limits on where the saddle should be?
Well, I would say there's sure some. It's hard to look at Zeke Thurston, and because he sets a pretty high bar. You don't see his saddle up on the neck. But what people see is when they see a saddle go over the head of a horse or running up on the neck of a horse, and you have certain contractors that would say that that's too much. You know, that doesn't do the horse good. You wouldn't rope calves with your saddle up on the neck. You wouldn't ride a cutting horse with the saddle up on the neck. For that horse to perform his best, that saddle needs to not be setting up on top of his shoulders up on his neck. And if something, I mean, there's a lot said about it. There's probably more up. You don't have to set it up there, even if your rigging's center fire. You don't have to set it up on the neck. It does allow you to do that and maybe have it stay there better. The severes that most of the guys rode when I rode, they didn't run back. And they typically fit a horse pretty good. And the spec on a, in Duff Severe's own words, he'd say, I can't do any more. These are as far the limits as they can go. If you change this anymore, you're going to be illegal. And you don't see a lot of illegal trees. You do see some modifications that look a little bit. The rule used to say no freaks allowed. Well, I think there's the odd, as it was always, the odd freak out there. But what you really don't want is those narrow bars. And Zeke's saddle probably does not have those. I wouldn't know why he would. But what they did when they made some of those, they want to make the gullet a little higher. Instead of building a taller swell, they narrowed the bars. And there was guys did that 50 years ago. But what they would tell you, that works to a point. But when those bars get so narrow and your saddle sits up so high, your feet whip up there, but you don't sit.
Well, if okay, so Zeke, if this is tens, go ahead.
Well, just to add to Clint's talk about the severes. So when I was 13, 14 years old, and my dad used to take his board down to Pendleton and run the scoreboard. And, you know, my dad, Clint, all them guys rode severes. They were great friends with the Severe family. And he was over at Severe's shop, and Randy gave him the saddle. He said it was a brand new saddle, never been on a horse. It was the last handmade tree that Duff made before he died. It was a little 16-inch, cutest little Bronc saddle you'd ever seen. Randy covered it. You know, it was as quality as they come. He gave it to my dad. He said, take this home for your boy. I want him to ride Broncs in the saddle. That saddle was 30 years old at the time, had never been on a Bronc. And that was the first saddle I started in, and that saddle sat up and pulled as good as you could ever ask. Had I not outgrown that saddle, I would probably still be riding it.
How cool is that? That Bill and Duff sent me home with a set of dummy horns for my boys just like that. And they're still out at the barn. That's really cool. But it sounds like, generally speaking, there are a few bad actors and it's maybe not the top 15 or 30. So is the case, two-part question, I guess, is the case here that the guys who are doing wrong here are they're just not good enough to hang unless they basically cheat? That's one question. And two, what's the worst case scenario to what they're doing? Is it hurting horses?
Their mindset is, I think it's, there's obviously a little fear involved, probably a little self-doubt, and they think that that's going to give them an upper hand. Like I said, there's a few bad eggs in the carton, and they kind of, you know, put a sour taste in everybody's mouth for you know, no more than they do. Those aren't the guys that win. They you know, they might catch a break here or there. It looks bad. It's ugly. They're not the guys that are out there, you know, cashing checks all the time. As far as hurting the horse, I don't think it hurts the horse as far as pain goes, because, you know, I rope a lot, I ride a lot of colts. You know, your horse isn't feeling it that day, something's sore, they're not going to go out there and put in the work like you want them to. But I think you can run that saddle up there high enough, cinch it down, especially, and you see, and I'm not going to say any names out there or anything, but you'll see some guys do it, and it's always when they have a big, strong rank horse that's, you know, maybe an eliminator style horse. You know, obviously that's where the fear, the self-doubt or whatever comes in. They're going to stick that saddle up on their neck, you know, or further forward than it needs to be, and cinch it down and hawk it at them. I don't think it's, you know, so much inflicting pain on that horse, but it has that horse bound up, you know, through the shoulders and through his withers and his pole, to where that horse can't, you know, extend and stretch out and, you know, crack them off and buck like he should. Again, them guys aren't winning anything doing that.
Clint, do you find yourself watching a lot of rodeos and just shaking your head?
Well, first off, I'm probably as big a bronc riding fan as there is in the world. I watch bronc riding anytime I got a chance. And I mean, Zeke Thurston, how much greater champion can you have than him? And there's guys just like him that are top-notch people that are doing the best they can. And I advocate for the horse a little bit because I think that the contractors, I think, have neglected to do that. And I don't think it's the Zeke Thurstons of the world that we're talking about at all. But I do see it more in younger guys, and I don't know where they're getting it, but you'll see a string of these guys, they're saddled right up on the neck, and they're winning money. But if the judging is really like it should be, it's hard for them. It should be hard. You'd be doing them a favor if you put them in a good saddle that fit a horse better. They ride better, and they get along better.
Yeah, I feel like me and Clint are very much so on the same page on this. And like you said, I've been at this for 12, 13 years now, and I've seen two completely different sets of bronc riders, which has probably been one of the biggest blessings in my career. And I'm extremely grateful that I got to ride with the guys that were before me, and now I'm riding with the guys that are going right now, you know. And it's kind of always been the same. Bronc riding is still bronc riding. The basics don't ever change. It's never changed since when Clint, my dad, rode to now. There's nothing different about it. You still have to go about it the same way. But there's a newer generation, younger guys, and I agree with Clint on that they're coming up and they're not really learning to ride the bucking horse. They're not riding broncs as much as they're riding the saddle. To where when we learned, you know, there's obviously the rosin thing that goes around now and everything. When I was 14 years old, we were going over here to the indoor barn in Stettler. We're getting on all winter. We'd buck bulls on Friday nights and horses on Saturday nights all winter long. And it would be minus 30 inside that building. There's no kind of rosin in this world that sticks when it's that cold. It just doesn't happen. So we had to learn to ride the horse for what it was, right? And we took a lot of sidewinders doing it. But that's how you figure out how to ride broncs. Nowadays, these guys are starting in way nicer equipment, it's all just kind of changed that way to where they get to where they kind of figure out how to stay in their saddle and then eventually kind of find that timing a little bit and call themselves a bronc rider. But it's not the same, you know, as the way me and Clint, you know, went about it and learned to ride broncs.
A curveball into this conversation, and then we'll get right back. I'm sorry,
Kendra.
That's okay.
My delay is catching.
I just wanted to throw a curveball. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You go, Kendra. When you're done, you point to me.
Okay. It's just a little curveball, but I would love, Clint, you go first, and then Zeke, I would love your opinion. And then we'll get back to the bronc saddle conversation. But do we need to keep the mark out rule? And if so, why? There's a lot of talk.
I think you absolutely need the rule. The purpose of the rule is to give the horse the and start the horse. We don't need to give the cowboys any more advantage. We got the talentedest cowboys in the world. They've learned to ride from the best, most knowledgeable people there were. They've got the best equipment that money can buy. They've got enough advantages. Give the horse that advantage.
I 100% agree with Clint. The spur out rule, I believe, is the best rule in bronc riding. That separates the men from the boys. That rule has made my entire career. It's made Clint's career, any elite bronc rider. They were the man. You get a horse like Get Smart, Wild Cherry, Explosive Skies. I mean, you name it, any one of them horses that boils out of there and they start bucking from the time that latch cracks as hard as they do, you know, they start as bucking as hard as they do as they finish. You know, most horses, it takes a bit to warm up. You know, the first couple of jumps is kind of where they get warmed up. When you got one that boils out of there and rears out and kicks over the back of the chutes, or kicks the back of the chutes right there, and it's, I mean, that's a difficult thing to spur that horse out. The guy that come to win first is the guy that's going to reach up there and try to spur that horse out, knowing in the back of his head that, you know, there's a good chance that he hits the ground at the end of it. Or if it goes right and his feet come right, he's in place to make a 90 plus point ride. To me, that's what bronc riding is all about. You take that rule away, I mean, I'm still going to spur him out, but I don't think that's going to help much for bronc riding.
Tommy Joe, get us back to the bronc riding. Thank you, guys. Or the bronc saddles, sorry.
The only thing that I was going to bring up is that I called, and I'm not going to mention any names, I called a half a dozen stock contractors, because what I was interested in is their take on this. And so I'm not going to mention any names, but as a whole, no contractor told me that they believe that this injures their horse or harms them. Okay. Now, what I got a lot is it takes the special or the special horses. And what that means is some of these horses that have some tricks in their bags, this saddle up there, and again, Clint and Zeke, you comment on once I'm done, you know, that some of these horses, some of the tricks in their bags to win the contest in 8 seconds, it takes a little bit of that away from them. And for a softer horse, it might make them not buck as long as they want them to. But, you know, all of them said to me, the good horses, the great campaigners, it doesn't matter where you put the bronc saddle, they're going to buck. They don't think it injures the horse. So that's just someone out there trying to create animal rights issues. So that's BS. I'm going to say that's BS, because I'm not finding that. Now, every stock contractor doesn't like it when a horse doesn't perform the way they want to. I mean, let's go back to the NFR. Remember the line when they put the chalk line in the arena, and there were contractors that their horses didn't perform the way they want. And they said, "Oh, it was that chalk line." You know, they always, because they want their horses to have their greatest trip every time, and I get that. But I'm not seeing any evidence, hard evidence, that this is injuring horses, and in most cases affecting their ability to do what they do. However, and I'm going to kick it back over to you guys. It seems to me that the way that the bronc saddles are positioned now and how it's evolved does give a little more advantage to the bronc riders than the old saddles and the old placement. Yes or no? Clint first, Zeke. Do we think this is advantage bronc riders with the new designs, or do we think it really doesn't matter?
I think it gives them advantage as far as staying on a horse. Doesn't make for better looking ride or a better ride or technically as good a ride. If normally you see the saddles up there a long ways, those guys aren't really setting their feet. They're not getting a hold of their feet. The bronc riding of the old days, Kendra, remember Bill Martinelli? He's a great bronc rider from California, and Bill said it the best. He said, if you lift on your rein and set your feet, you don't have to have that good a bronc saddle. He rode an old low riding thing that guys today, well, nobody would ride it. I couldn't ride it, but those guys did. And Bill Smith rode a saddle like that. And they took lifting on your rein and setting your feet to an extreme. That's how they rode, and that's how Zeke and I were taught to ride. So I don't know. Does it give them advantage? I think they have it. I think it's easier maybe for them to stay on. But I don't think, because they're riding their saddles more, and they've got a little bit more saddle than they had. They did change the specs a couple years ago to where they have another half inch of undercut underneath the swell. And they did make it where they can have the little wider swell, but I don't know that anybody's doing that. But they're more contained in their saddles than Zeke is, probably. I mean, they can modify those saddles to kind of fit them. They shouldn't win as much.
I would say it is. I would say it probably is advantage bronc rider. The saddles are better. Like they're built, you know, they're built better. They, like I said, they stay where they're put. They last longer to where you can, I've had this saddle for 5 years now. I know it like the back of my hand. You know, you can see this is my saddle 5 days ago in Reno. The rig and placement, you know, as far as the rule book goes, it cannot be behind center of swell. I mean, if you took a level and drew straight up there, that's actually closer to the front part of the swell. But that saddle pulls and sits right where it needs to. I sent you a couple other pictures, two other NFR qualifiers. I believe these saddles are, I mean, they're just more compact. They're just built a little more robust and they pull a little better is all. But like Clint's saying, bronc riding's just bronc riding. There's nothing, I mean, you can't cheat your way through it, and there's no shortcuts, and you can't make it happen that way. The basics never change. And for me personally, I have kind of, a unique riding style, and not a lot of people, do it that way, but I get kind of twisted and turned and stuff, but my butt, I like to be able to move around in my saddle. I don't like to be locked down, stuck in one spot, because that's just not how I ride. That's not how I learned to ride. And I got to be able to shift and make counter moves, and I might get all my weight in one stirrup or vice versa or whatever, but you gotta be able to move and ride with that animal. You see a lot of guys nowadays, they learn to ride the bucka machine. When it transfers over to a bronc, it looks like they're riding a bucka machine. It's robotic. You know, everything's just sitting up there in one spot and their feet are just moving. Sure, they're riding the bronc, but to me, bronc riding, you're riding the animal.
Well, it seems to me that in snow skiing, skis have changed. They've changed the skis, right? Because the goal here is for the cowboys to win. And so it's natural evolution to me that if there are technical and data advantages, that's what the cowboys should do, because their goal is to get a gold buckle. And the skis have changed and the mountain's losing, right? I mean, the skis are different than they used to ski. They ski faster, they ski harder. It's different the way they cut. It's the same thing with the equipment. So I don't think, I mean, from my advantage point after talking to you guys and after doing research, is that, you know, this is a whole lot of hullabaloo over nothing. We've got two experts in the room that says, look, if you cheat that much, you're not going to win. And you got Zeke saying, if you learn how to ride the horse instead of the saddle and the bucking machine, you know, that's a difference. The question is, one more question, and then I'll let Kendra have final word and we'll wrap this up. Do you guys think the judges know the difference in a robotic ride? And again, we're not trying to throw the judges, but overall, do you win more by doing it right? Well, I think you do. Maybe I'm answering my own question, but can these judges see what you guys are talking about today as a whole? I don't want to throw any judges under the bus, but do you get rewarded when you really ride a horse instead of ride your saddle today?
To an extent. I think your good judges know. Your run-of-the-mill judge, I don't think he's probably going to know the difference. Most of them never rode broncs. They're just, you know, I guess if the feet are moving and going where they look like they should, they're going to judge it accordingly.
Well, final word, Kendra, and we'll wrap up 107. I appreciate these guys.
Okay, I have another question that's not about the bronc saddles, and then I have a one last question for each of you. Clint, you first. What's the best bucking horse ride you ever made? Where, what horse, why?
Well, that's a question I really can't answer. But I never made a ride I was completely satisfied with, and I think that's probably one reason I stayed tough, because I never really was satisfied with what I got done. I wanted to do better. Always wanted to make the perfect ride. When I reached a point in my career where I wasn't getting any better, I didn't want to do it anymore.
Gotcha. Zeke, what about you? You got a favorite?
Yeah, I agree with Clint on that. I don't know if there's just one favorite, and I don't think I've ever made a perfect ride, and I don't know if there's ever such a thing as a perfect ride. There's always something to be done better and crisper, and like Clint said, we're just striving to do that every time. And to add towards your saddle discussion, this is my job. This is how I make my money. It's how I feed my family. Everybody knows I got a bunch of rugrats running around. When I go to the rodeo, I'm not there to cheat the horse to make him lesser, to win less. Like, I'm there to win as much as I can and help that animal perform to his very best so that I can perform to my very best.
Well, okay. One last question, a piece from me, please. I kind of walked into this conversation expecting that it was possible that there might be sort of generation gap difference between you guys, but there isn't. And so Clint, you being a South Dakota cowboy, what do you think your fellow South Dakotan Casey Tibbs would have to say about this saddle bronc riding, about the bronc saddles today? And what do you think he'd have to say about this conversation?
Well, I didn't ever see Casey ride other than on some films, but Casey was all about winners. I mean, he was a winner, and I think he'd be a winner today. He would not have to, he'd have to ride different than he rode back then, but he was the best there was. And I think that generation of guys, and of every generation, the top guys, if you could plug them into today on the horses, they'd be tough today. The bronc riding has evolved, and some of the equipment has evolved, but I do think they need to. I do think there's some saddles that need inspected, and the narrow bars and the riggins do need to be looked at. But as far as, you know, great bronc riders, man, there's been great bronc riders forever, and the guys that were tough 50 years ago would be tough today if they got a chance. They'd have to learn to ride like these guys, but.
I agree with Clint on that. You could take Casey Tibbs, you could take Clint Johnson, you can take Brad Jermanson, Billy, myself, anybody from any era, and put them all at the same time. Make them ride 40 years ago or make them ride today. They're all going to be elite bronc riders. They're going to figure it out, just because, you know, if we all came up at the same time, doing the same thing, riding the same horses, same equipment, I don't think the outcome would be different. Everybody would still ride extremely well. Winners win. If you got that mindset and that's what you're about, you're going to make it work no matter what area you're in.
Casey would tell Zeke, I sure hope you win two or three more titles so I can get famous again. He'd be talking about his record. I mean, I didn't get to know Casey well enough to know, and he told me that himself. He said, I thought maybe Brad was going to beat my record, but look, and he didn't know that I was getting ready to quit. But he says, you need to win a couple more so that you can tie my record and I can get famous again.
Zeke, I have one last question for you. Okay, you're in some rarefied air here with Clint with your four gold buckles. How do you look? What's the ultimate goal, and how do you look at that? Like, is Billy at Bauer with his five gold buckles? Is he in your crosshairs next, or are you looking at Casey and Dan Mortensen with the six? Or what's your ultimate goal?
I've never put a number on it. I would love to do as good as I can. I've got a few good years left, you know, and I'm going to use them up and do what we can. But I've always just wanted to be remembered as one of the very best to ever do it and be kind of known as a good bronc rider. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be known as a good person and somebody that you'd like your kids to look up to. So.
We'd all say that about the both of you, so thank you.
Well, what very cool to have Bronc Riding Royalty with us, and good conversation. As always, we want to thank our two guests, thank our partners and production team back there putting this together. And this has been episode 107 of No Spin Rodeo. And here's the summary. Winners win, cheaters cheat. There you go.
Cheaters never prosper. All
right. Yeah, cheaters cheat, they don't win. And generationally, it is cool. These guys are just saying, look, learn how to ride the horse, be great. Two examples of greatness in front of us. Thank you, No Spinners, for joining us for 107. Thank you, Zeke. Thank you, Clint. Thank you, Ms. Santos.
You betcha.
You guys all have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Enjoy it.
Thank you, guys.
Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport.